All right, Jim Taylor on WMJ and WMJ.com. Always great visit with an old friend of the station, Macomb Bomber AD Steve Horrell. Everybody's probably listening. They said, Taylor's going to talk. Horrell's going to say the Olympic Conference is coming back. Bummer, we're not going to. I wish that's our special Christmas holiday episode. But no, we're going to talk about IHSA bylaw amendment proposal. Now, this comes out of the Do What's Right Advisory Committee. It's kind of a sportsmanship committee, and Steve Horrell serves on that committee. And this deals, Steve, with coaches that are ejected for unsportsmanlike conduct. And really, it looks like it deals with the multiple offenders, which doesn't happen a lot. But I guess it is an issue that this committee is concerned about. So tell us a little bit about the rationale kind of behind this.
Well, Jim, basically what we looked at was, and this is my first year on this committee, and the proposal had started to get some traction last year. And in some very few cases, there are multiple ejections of coaches for unsportsmanlike conduct. And we just wanted to get a little more aligned with what we do with student athletes as well. And plus, that part of the rationale is we want to hold our adults to probably a little higher, you know, obviously a higher standard than our student athletes, and to be those role models that we want for our kids.
So as it stands now, if a coach is ejected from a game, basically the penalty is can't coach in the next game. But herein lies the issue with this bylaw amendment. This deals with kind of a progressive issue. Say if a coach gets ejected for a second time in a season, then what happens? Or a third time, or maybe a fourth time over three seasons. So this is kind of a progressive type of penalty. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it has a little more teeth to it that way, that, you know, in case of just a slap on the wrist and so I'm missing the next game. You know, it'll be if it's multiple times and it carries over for 4 years, just, you know, it's like a 4 year cycle. Plus it will follow you to a new school as well. If you leave a position, at one school and take another position somewhere else. And then, also if you coach one sport, you know, which happens quite, you know, in the past, up in the Quad Cities area, you've had people coaching, you know, at one school one sport and another school a different sport. And so it will follow you to, you know, it's a personal thing, not a position thing, I guess is the easiest way to put it. So if I were to take a new position or I coach in another school, it's going to follow me as well. Obviously, we are, it is our hope as a committee and as administrators with athletics that a school would probably take more action than we would if this is becomes a problem. And it is, and I can't foresee someone having multiple ejections over a 4 year period of time and still being allowed to coach, you know, student athletes. It may happen, but you know, most school districts, most athletic directors, most superintendents and school boards and principals are probably going to step in and do something different, you know, probably more strict than what we've put out there.
Yeah, and this, again, this relates only to coaches, so we're not talking about fans in the stands. And I know you as an administrator and a former coach, and your brother is a softball longtime umpire. You know, is there any talk of seeking some uniformity in terms of penalties against that? Now, again, this is Jim Taylor saying there are just exceptions out there, but they make it worse for everybody. And we're talking about some of that unruly fan behavior, but it's not a uniform penalty across, you know, member schools, so to speak. Is there any talk of trying to come up with something in regards to that, you think? Or would that be a good idea to look at something like that?
I think what we would look at with that is more so at a conference level or a school district level. I know that we here at Macomb, we have certain policies with fan behavior. Oh, and there are, you know, you'll every time you're at an IHSA postseason event, you're going to hear the announcement of do the right thing, and you know these are what we want with attitude and along the ways there. But at this point in time, no, we have not discussed, you know, expanding this, and I guess we're hopeful that the schools and conferences will take care of that themselves and it doesn't become a problem. You know, years ago, I know we switched some things. We had some problems with soccer and so we made some adjustments to ejections and, you know, what follows an ejection after that point in time. You know, guys and gals that coach are gonna, you know, at some point in time, are gonna probably, you know, get a little heated and, you know, if it's one time thing and, you know, they'll learn from it, or if it's a continual thing, that's the habitual offenders are I think what this policy or this bylaw is intended for.
Yeah, and I think the one, you know, I was talking to Luke Allen, the Pleasant Plains principal, they offered a bylaw amendment dealing with basically the public-private issue. And, you know, when we talk about these bylaw amendment proposals, it's you know, it's basically, you know, member schools, it's, you know, it's they have a say on this. Member schools can offer the bylaw amendment, and then, you know, the way the town hall process works in the legislative commission, they decide whether this will move to the ballot. Now, this is a little bit unique because it is coming out of an advisory committee, so to speak, and that's the Do What's Right advisory committee. So what are there? There are like 12 or 13 some odd members that participate in that. So there's been enough discussion on this across the state that this committee, made up of, you know, principals and ADs and whatnot, they felt that something like this should happen, right? So this is not now I know it's authored, it's submitted by a member school, but it's coming out of an advisory committee, which means there's a little bit more teeth to it, isn't there?
I would believe so, yes. And we have, as you said, Jim, we do have athletic directors, we have principals, and we also have an official on our committee as well. So, and it goes from, you know, the Wisconsin border all the way down into Kentucky border, Indiana, over to Missouri, Iowa. So it's not just, you know, people from all over the state with different viewpoints and different, basically, you know, experiences. So we feel we put together a pretty good proposal there, sent it to the legislative committee. They looked at it. We made some amendments to it, put it back on the town hall meeting, that, well, I attended we hosted one virtually on Monday. And so those finish up, either later this week or early next week. And from those straw polls, then the legislative committee will come back together and say yay or nay. Maybe, you know, maybe nay, and let's look at it a little bit different. And these are points that we probably would want to change a little bit or tweak just here or there. But yeah, it's coming from, you know, an IHSA sanctioned committee. It may or may not have a little more teeth, as you say, but it obviously it is an issue that we want to get it in front of.
Do you think there's a good chance it'll get to the ballot? I know that the town halls are they're virtual town halls this year. I think they continue through November 18th. What's your gut feeling on that?
I am optimistic that it will get onto the ballot at the legislative committee. Yes, in our town hall it was about a 50-50 thing, and again, from experience, if you haven't had that situation in your community, in your school, in your area, maybe, you know, you vote NA or no as opposed to yes. So but, you know, we're optimistic and hopeful that it will get on the ballot and get passed.
Right. The way the progressive penalty works, if you're ejected, the first offense is a one-game suspension. That's basically what it is now. Second offense, two-game suspension and completion of sportsmanship education. Third offense, 25% of the season suspension and additional sportsmanship education. Fourth offense, season-long suspension. Infractions will accumulate by sport and will be served immediately. and infractions will have a sunset of 4 years. That's basically kind of the setup here involving this bylaw, right?
Correct. Correct. And think about it. Your one-year thing is four ejections.
Yeah, man.
All right, four ejections for unsportsmanlike. We're not talking Earl Weaver here. We're talking high school coaches that we want influencing our student athletes. So, you know, that's the rationale. You know, it's four ejections in 4 years for this.
Yeah, I was gonna say. That's gonna be a wild post game on WRMJ if there's four ejections.
Yeah. You got guys and gals that have went their entire career without getting ejected. You know, and there is an appeal process as well. You know, for ejections. So, you know, if you know something is misapplied or you know something is egregious, and you know there would be an appeal process in there as well. So.
Now, the one thing I heard, because, you know, speaking about these bylaw amendments, you know, it's been all COVID, right? We've all been worried about COVID. Are we ever going to play again? So there hasn't been a lot of attention about these bylaw amendments. And I just was like surfing the scan in the IHSA webpage yesterday. I said, oh, man. And we're doing this interview on November 11th. I'm like, oh, what are the bylaw amendment proposals this year? And I looked at them and I saw the public-private school issue. And then I'm like, oh, this unsportsmanlike conduct issue involving coaches. This looks like an interesting. So those were the two bylaws that kind of stood out for me. And I screenshotted the two proposals I'm speaking of, including this one that we're discussing with Steve Hortle here. And I posted them. And one of the things I heard in terms of criticism was like, well, I'm not necessarily in support of this unsportsmanlike conduct bylaw involving coaches, because what about that official who has a grudge against maybe that coach? And I'm thinking to myself, you're talking about four ejections. That's probably more than a grudge. I don't know that. So that's one of the criticism I guess I heard in regards to this. I guess your response to that.
We thought of that in our committee. We will track, you know, obviously what coaches, you know, or when the coach was ejected, A, who the opponent was, B, who the official was. If we see a pattern there, then we're going to do, you know, then I would say that we would contact the athletic director, the administration of, you know, the school, maybe the officials association of that area, and say, hey, you know, we got a pattern here and something's not working out. You know, we would be proactive, you know, before it gets to the point of a fourth ejection and look for patterns here. So yes, that was the mindset or a thought with this bylaw proposal that this could happen, because there are, you know, there are times, and as a coach, I have walked into an event and looked up and said, you know, and I can't.
I've said that as a broadcaster.
Yes. It's kind of like you know, the Notre Dame Clemson game the other night. You know, I missed Saturday Night Live because they had all the reviews. So if I walk in and see all those officials again, I'm going to say, oh man, I want to watch Chappelle on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. All right. So I appreciate you. Like I said, you know, you can look at these bylaw proposals at IHSA.org and study them and kind of learn how the Legislative Commission and the bylaw amendment process works. Again, that's at IHSA.org. I know, Steve Hortle, you've been doing this how long now? You've been in education?
A couple years. Oh, I've been in education since 1985.
All right. We ever going to play again?
Yes. Yes, and hopefully something comes out of the meeting today. You know, we're going to start practice with our boys swim team on Monday. Our dance and our cheer squads will start practice on Monday. Hopefully we can get some basketball in very soon.
Yep. Well, just, you know, just feel for the kids. I know you being in it as long as you have, too. Just, you know, it just the unknowns in the moving target and the ever-evolving thing with this pandemic since last March. It's been crazy. I know that. And I just feel for the kids, and I hope this isn't our normal way of life, because the unknown is the big thing that's so frustrating in all this. And I know there are more important issues than interscholastic athletics. I get that. But there is a big absence here with Illinois missing them right now. I'll tell you that. Now, you know, some sports were able to be played in the fall, and it looks like some are going to be played in the winter. But just kind of getting all of those opportunities back out there so these kids can participate, we need that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've been a coach for, 35 years, and this is something that is, my son's a coach, and we all understand, my family, everybody understands that there is a hole right now that a lot of kids are feeling, that it's not just, not just that I'm not coming to school every day, but I'm not going out to practice after school and seeing my friends. I'm not, getting that social emotional release, that physical release that I need. Some of our kids, and I'm not the first one to say this, but some of our kids, that's the only reason they come to school, is to be part of a team. That's what's kept kids in school. That's what's got kids to graduate. But also theater, music, science club, those are things that are hooks for kids as well. And we're missing all of those at this point in time.
Yeah, amen. All right. One more thing. Did I read it right? Somebody's going to let Macomb into a conference? You're kidding me.
We have been offered a invitation to join the Prairie Land Conference.
Well, good.
Yes.
I know everybody down there's got to be excited about having conference affiliation, because you, as they said, you guys have been the Lonely Island Club, right?
Yes. Quincy, Notre Dame, and us for football at this point in time are out here on our own and fending for ourselves. But we're pretty excited about the opportunity, and as long as things go well at our board meetings, of education meeting on Monday night, we will look forward to being a proud member of the Prairie Land Conference.
All right, they were either going to try and get in the NFC West or the WAC, and finally they got admitted, or they're going to get admitted to the Prairie Land Conference. I'm happy for the kids down there. Macomb is a great addition to any conference, and I tell you, I really missed the relationship that we had in the 80s and 90s with, Aledo, Macomb, Rock Ridge, Sherrard, and Orion, and all those great rivalries with Monmouth back in the day. And good to see that you'll get some of that back in the Prairie Land Conference. Always great to visit with Steve Horrell. Good to see you. And tell all my good friends down in Macomb that Jim Taylor said hello.
I most certainly will, and thanks for talking to us, Jim.
All right, Steve Horrell, the Macomb Athletic Director, joining us on WRMJ.